You're so welcome to the first episode of the Round Table Podcast. And I'm excited because I got such great friends here to have great conversation. I have Matthew Craig, Candice Keezer, soon to be Craig, Candy yeah, Craig, Shauna Ronan, and Rosie Afalabi. And we're just going to be here to have conversation, and we're turning our 8 p.m. service into our podcast service. It's going to be on YouTube, Facebook, and then of course on, well, every other audio podcast that you can get. And really, kind of the purpose of this is just to have conversation. And so, of course, we've had our services this morning. We kicked off our new series, Good News, a study through the book of Colossians. But this evening and for every single Sunday night after this, we want to create a space and a platform to have conversations. Sometimes we'll have a panel or a group like these guys. Other times it'll be in interviews with one-on-one. We'll have lots of different ways, lots of different themes. And really it's going to be conversations around spirituality, around our life, our love, our relationships, leadership, and really what it looks like to live out the Bible in a modern 21st century way and in a practical way. And I once heard this statement that we change the world one conversation at a time. And so I really believe that it's so important to get around a table to have conversation. And one of my favorite things of getting around a table is having food, which unfortunately we don't have here.
Where's the food?
So to start us off and to get some conversation flowing, I love food. And Sean, I know you love food too.
That's
what
true.
Is your most favorite meal? Like, you're on death row. It's your last meal. Hopefully never
went deep there.
It's your last meal. What would it be, Matthew?
You know what? I would never have thought that I would say something from Newbridge is my favorite out of anything.
Oh my
right?
God.
I love Newbridge. Grew up here.
Newbridge or nowhere.
Newbridge or nowhere. Yeah. But there's this little Indian restaurant in one of the back streets called Jaipur.
Yes.
And they have this meal called chicken lebabdar. And I have never tasted anything so good. And every time I have it, it tastes better. So that's probably it. It's just perfect. It's creamy and smooth and spicy, but not too spicy.
Jaipur, big shout out
Jaipur,
there.
Jaipur,
Chicken kebab.
Next week you'll see us all eating.
Yeah. What about you, Rosie? What's your favorite meal?
I think mine. The first thing that comes to mind is lasagna. Oof. But this is gonna sound like really arrogant, but my lasagna, like the lasagna I make, which my mother taught me how to make, because I'm never happy with the lasagna I get in restaurants. Genuinely, it's too tomatoey. But when I make lasagna, I'm letting my secrets out now. You've got to double layer the creamy layer. Ooh. Like, you got to sandwich the creamy stuff between two layers of pasta.
Do you put cheese in between your layers?
I put a little bit of cheese in the creamy sauce.
Okay,
that's good. That I made from scratch.
Nice. Have you ever been to Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Oh.
Better than any. No, lasagna with a really nice rocket salad with like a balsamic. It's like tangy and
yum.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Sean?
I just got to say, to be honest, I think a fry is probably be what I'd have, you know, if I was on death row. I go for a fry, something about a fry, I don't know what it is. I love bacon and sausages.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything?
Rashers.
Like, is there anything you would eliminate?
Beans.
Well, it depends. What are you including in a fry?
Is black,
that's a whole other conversation. I don't like black pudding.
Okay,
but white pudding's fine. I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's not Irish fry then. Okay.
Yeah. Fry is what
egg,
I want.
Sunny side up or?
All kinds of eggs. I'll have extra egg for the black pudding. So I actually.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Fried eggs good.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Tomatoes are good.
What about you,
potatoes even.
What would I have? Like, first I was just going to go for the traditional, like, steak, mushroom sauce, and potato wedges. But I think I'm going to have to just go with sushi, just because I'm craving sushi right now. So, some salmon, avocado, and you have to have the sushi mayo on top. It's just the best. So, a little bit of sushi will do.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had classic steak. Just steak and sweet potato fries.
Sweet potato.
That's good, yeah.
But the steak has to be medium rare, a nice strip loin. That's what I like. Anyway, we don't just talk about food.
On that
don't worry about that. Well, you comment in the comment section. What's your favorite food? But today, we're going to have a conversation around the title, There's Healing for a Hurried Life. There's healing for a hurried life. And we live in a time and age in society where it's like our world is obsessed with work and the hustle and the grind, where the point where it feels like we're always on, we're always consuming. There's always another Netflix series to watch. Or now there's like 52 platforms that we need to watch and keep up with. And unfortunately, what this has caused us is to always be tired. always be busy, always just kind of a result saying it's just not feeling content, not feeling fulfilled. It's like almost like we would have everything we could ever desire, and yet still we want something different, something more, something else. And one of the problems as well that's really struck me, and this is me personally, is never feeling rested. And in this season, I've tried to really discover what rest is and how to rest and what that looks like for me. And one of the things that's helped me, and it's kind of like also was a platform for this kind of topic, is read this book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it bought it for all of our team. And Matthew has read it also. And it really kind of just stirred me and stirred my heart to look at my life and see, am I hurried? And why am I hurrying? And how can I change that? How can I adapt that? And so we're going to be having a conversation around that today. And so my first question to you, but also to you, is would you describe yourself as hurried? And so what does that mean? Well, here's some things just to like little markers just to kind of judge yourself on. It's a place where you're feeling drained. And maybe by the end of the week, you feel come to a place where you feel empty and you're not resting, but you're recovering.
Right.
And oftentimes it feels like we have a very small recovery time before we got to go back into work. And maybe feeling just like you're always on.
Yeah.
So like even in our time off or even in our holidays, we're still on. Maybe just never feeling fully rested. Maybe feeling you're saying things like, there's not enough time in the day. Yeah. That's something I always say. There's just not enough time in the day. Or you know, I started this week with a list and my list has gone bigger, not smaller. Or saying I've got so much to do and not enough time. And when people, here's a real marker or measure. When people ask you how you're doing, does the words I'm busy or I'm feeling tired or I'm feeling wrecked come to the forefront of your mind straight away? Well, if the answer is yes to any of those things, it's pretty much, you know, like you are living a hurried life. So to you guys, would you describe yourself as living hurried? Candy?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Like my first and short and sweet answer is yes. Definitely. But what's funny is that, like, you would know, I like doing things slowly. Like, I want to drive slowly and I want to walk slowly and I love to appreciate my coffee and watch the sunset. But I think in my mind and in my heart, I'm always going and I'm on. And I definitely think some of it's like a personality thing. Like, I'm like the go-getter. I want to adventure. I want to do stuff. Why do nothing when you can do something? Like, I want to tick everything off on my list. So I would definitely say I have that thing of like always going, always being on. And I think even like at this stage in the world, like with social media and our phones, like I do find I'm someone who's like over-engaged, over-stimulated, over-connected all the time. Like, can't go to the loo without going on Instagram at the same time. Like, you know, like making tea and looking at the phone. Like, it's just constant all the time. And I find I really have to like stop. And when I feel that, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'm hurrying, I'm rushing, I'm pacing every day. So I would definitely say I'm a hurried person for sure.
Appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, no, definitely. Can't lie.
I think it's interesting how, like, for you, you do things slowly. Yeah. And so we do a lot of things. I'm like, wow, we're doing this really slowly. But if I do things fast, that doesn't really bother me. I like doing things fast, getting them done, be efficient, get stuck into what I'm doing. But what I'll do is I'll do that and I'll stack things up and stack things up and I won't leave space or margin. And I'll get to that point where I wouldn't say I'm hurried, but I always feel like I'm busy. I always feel like I'm drained. It's like I'll get to Tuesday and I'm drained. I'm like, it's Tuesday. Like, why am I tired? Right? And yeah, I think that's the thing that me and so many of our generation do is we just don't leave space to actually stop at all.
That's good.
I think a lot of it as well, it's like a mental hurriedness because like you can, I would think that I'm quite an easygoing person. I would see you as like, you're like what you said, like you're chill, but there's a constant like ding, 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 ding going on up here. And I think that can lead to you being just as exhausted if you're a doer. I think. It's a real thing.
And what something I thought was interesting is I didn't grow up hurried or quick. Like my family's quite relaxed and slow. And even through school and university is always like, don't do your homework on a Sunday. Take a day for yourself where you have space. And I used to do that. And then as soon as I left my house and I started working, it was then that just, and I had to take care of myself like completely all the time. Yeah. It was then that something switched and I got into the world on my own and I just got lost in this like, I have to be busy all the time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Right, yeah.
What were you, Sean?
Yeah, I was actually laughing at that question, trying to think through it, because I would always say that I procrastinate, so I don't necessarily hurry, but that I don't do the work that I should be doing. Mm. But in reality, listening to you guys, I realise that I'm always thinking, and yeah. that's, even though I might not necessarily be doing the work that I should be doing, I find myself like thinking about yeah. what I should be doing, or what I should be doing, what I need to do next week. So I do feel that even though, like, obviously I do my work, but I find myself quite yeah. often saying, oh, I'm just going to take a rest and not actually, you know, take a break. Mm. But it's funny in those moments of how it's such a lie, it's not actually yeah. resting. You're really trying to, like, prolong the need to do the work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was really kind of, at the beginning, I was kind of saying, no, I'm not hurried. Look, I take loads of breaks, but those breaks are, like, denying what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
I find that my mind is totally kind of on the go a lot of the times, thinking yeah. through things. My mind is a bit of a playground. Yeah. Loads of kids in it.
I think with what Matt said, like, you know, there comes this point in society, I think, where we praise busyness.
Oh, yeah.
And we praise hurry almost. Like there's like this
celebrate
elite.
It.
Yeah, yeah. We celebrate the hustle and the yeah. go, go, go. And it's like, oh, you must be doing so well at your life if you're yeah. always busy and you're so full. And I think that's the hamster wheel that yeah. we can get so sucked into at some point. I don't know how it happens, but at some point in our life, we get sucked into this hamster wheel and you just go, go, go. And then you read a book or something happens or even like a tragedy or something yeah. changes in your life and you realize, wait. Yeah. I'm living my life rushed on a hamster wheel. Yeah. Why am I doing that?
Yeah. And something so interesting in that book, he talked about how, you know, 20, 30 years ago, a symbol of wealth was you would show rich people sitting by the pool, playing golf, like relaxed, easy. And now if you look at wealth symbols, it's like city living, fast life, in meetings, business,
yeah.
you know, like rush, rush, rush. And so like being busy is now a symbol of what wealthy people have. It's something
yeah.
to aspire to,
yeah.
which when you start thinking about it, is kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, so obviously both of us read a book.
Mm.
And you guys are going to read the book.
Mm.
I think for me, what I tried to do, because we took some holidays and get into a place of rest and read this when our holidays at home. It was an amazing place to be.
Thank you.
And, you know, read it and go, right. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And it started off my week in work. I'm, you know, getting into it first day, okay, everything's going good. But then very quickly, 3 days into it, it's like I'm right back to the where I was before.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with what you just said there, is margin.
Mm-hmm.
Not leaving myself enough time. And myself and Joe, we've been kind of talking about this a lot, because we'll start things and like do new things, and then we... like obviously start failing and forget to do them or whatever, but we almost hold ourselves so accountable that we're our own worst critic. And I think that's where the mind stuff comes in. Like if I'm going to take some time off or try and rest, and I unfortunately go on social media and I see that someone else is not resting, it almost creates that, the anxiety, and also we're not leaving ourselves enough margin, you know, trying to fill our day, trying to fill our time. That's just one thing that, for me, I don't know if you guys would agree, but...
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, kids make you busier. Have they, like, do you remember back before you had kids? Like, would you have said that you were still busy then, like rushing around places, or did you have more space?
Yeah, so I would say this. So I obviously have three boys. I was just as tired without kids as I am now.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's interesting.
I'm actually probably more rested now than I was before I had kids. And my mom used to always slag me because she'd always ask, you know, how are you? How's things? And I'd say, I'm wrecked. I'm exhausted. And I had like nothing to do. You know, probably when I was in college. You know, just working. And then you have your first kid and you're like, you know, exhaustion and all this. And then you have your second kid exhaustion. And now a break for us is like to get two of the kids minded. Or one of the kids minded.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I do think it's a mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, that's what I think.
Yeah.
It's just a mentality. It's a maturing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's, the way I see it kind of is twofold. It's capacity and leverage. I need to increase my capacity, but I need to leverage my time to that I'm not always on the go.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, on the times that I am on the go, I have the capacity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just kind of one thing I wanted to ask you guys, is because we're not saying here about like, we're all going to wear flip-flops around and, you know, no work anymore. And just like a barefoot would have been a better one. And, you know, we are talking about working and resting. And so for you, do you think that that is a realistic thing to adhere to aspire to?
Yeah. Mm.
What do you guys think?
I think, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
But I think, because we're talking about hustle and stuff, and I think it's really important. I think you mentioned it earlier, but hustling isn't bad. Like being busy isn't bad, because we could easily go down that path, but it can become really, really toxic. Mm. And I think balance is totally, totally possible.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to know that hustling isn't bad. Being a busy human isn't bad. But knowing... Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like we were made to work and to do things and produce, right? So that's good. But it's when we like glorify that over everything else that becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's like what kind of you were saying, right? We celebrate the busy. Yeah. We celebrate the busy. Mm. And then I think that can result in some really toxic thinking on our part, which makes, like the hamster wheel, which makes us then jump back on and be like, oh, I need to do more because it's good. Look how much I'm achieving. Mm. And that's not a bad thing. Mm. But if that's where you're living, that damages you.
Do you think you should ask the question what you're busy about, though? Like, I feel like that's the other thing, is that we can be busy with a lot of things that isn't necessary, or we're busy with doing things that just shouldn't, that is actually not good for us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I was actually reading a fantastic quote about how, like, people want to rest, and that rest is good, but that we should rest in our work, if that makes sense. Kind of like that when we're being busy, that we're not being busy around things that just are not needed. Mm. I think that that's just something where I, you know, if I'm resting, for instance, I'll choose to sit down and play Xbox, for instance, where actually in that I can actually be quite busy. Like actually my mind is totally on the go where I'm saying I'm resting, but actually in reality I'm being busy and my mind focused on the video game of what I'm doing.
And that's so good because like we can think of rest as sitting down and staring at the ceiling, right? Or doing that thing. For me, I love basketball. When I'm playing basketball, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm thinking about basketball. I'm totally in the zone. Well, if I play 2 hours of pickup ball, I'm like refreshed. I'm like
that's
renewed, right? But I'm going to be tired because I've exerted myself. Mm. So it's not just about not doing anything. It's about doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Or good.
Mm.
And I think it's not an either or situation. It's not like you have to be someone who's always resting, not in slip-slops or barefoot, or someone who's super busy. I think there needs to be a balance. There has to be, it must be possible to have a balance somewhere, to be someone who works really hard, but to be someone who rests really hard as well. And I think like you guys are saying, it's defining, well, what is rest? Because is rest sleep? Is it about getting 9 hours every single night? Like, is that actually what rest is? And I don't think that's what it is. And I think for each of us, rest could look so different.
Good,
for you, it might be playing basketball. For me, it's maybe getting a coffee and baking. For you, it's maybe looking after your plants. Like, you know, whatever it is, like rest looks different.
Yeah.
But I think it's about figuring out what is rest and peace for me.
That's
what does that look like for me? How am I going to be at peace with myself, with who I am? Mm. And I think that's the danger and the toxic part of being so busy is that we can be so busy that we lose ourselves in the busyness and then we don't have peace and we don't have rest in ourselves. Peace with our creator, God. Peace with what I do have and with what I don't have. Peace with who I am as a person, the good, the bad, the ugly parts of me, like everything together. It's finding that rest and that peace in yourself. But I don't think it's one or the other.
Yeah.
I think there must be a balance somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's something that Jesus did, again, talks about in the book. Like Jesus was so busy. He did so much. There's like books about all the stuff he did and he squashed it into 3 years. But then you see so many times he pulls away on his own to pray. Like the idea that when he went into the desert, it wasn't, you know, because we think of the wilderness or the desert as like a place of like, oh, it's bad. But he went and got strengthened there. And that's when he got tempted, right?
Mm.
And so Jesus had that balance of, you know, he's fully present. He had so much compassion. Mm. He did so much, but yet he didn't burn out, right?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to look at his life and how he lived things and try to kind of reconcile how we live.
And I think it's exactly what you were saying, Candy. It's... Or where is your wilderness? Where is that place where you go to receive? And I think the key is in not knowing how to rest. And I think that the statement that's probably defined this generation is Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's like That's how I rest. Mm-hmm. Netflix, sit down, watch a series.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're mind numbing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do think we have a society that's based around consumerism.
Right.
And so one of the things in this, you'll know, mm-hmm. is that back in the 70s, they were looking forward to the next 50 years, which is crazy to think it was 50 years ago, it was the 70s. And they predicted around this time, say 2020, that we would work maybe 3 or 4 hours. And we'd have enough money and enough time because we'd have created so much technology and so much things that we wouldn't need to work as more. We'd be able to enjoy life more. But then what happened is consumerism happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I need to spend my time consume. So we spend our days, especially in our, because it's raining all the time, walking around the shopping center.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, window shopping or watching. I need to consume on Netflix. Yeah. I need to consume this. I need to consume that. And so, you know, if we don't stop this, and this is my question to you guys, what's going to be the result of our lives if we continue on? What do you see happening?
Yeah, I think rest, it's, you know, like the Bible, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, is, you know, the Bible talks about having a Sabbath, and I think rest is something that is essential, like, for humanity to be healthy, to be, we all want to be, what's the word? Not successful, fulfilled. We all want to be fulfilled. We're all searching for fulfillment. And that's the thing, we're searching for fulfillment in Netflix, searching for fulfillment in the shops, searching for fulfillment in playing games. Like, we're searching for it, yet we're looking sometimes in all the wrong places. And we all go through life and we all do that at some point. But I think we're going to live very unfulfilled, empty lives. And I think it's because that's not what God has created us, or how God created us to live. He created us to live with margin and with rest, like, in our lives. So I think it's essential for us to be able to have that in our lives.
I think this past, like, gosh, I don't know how many months it's been since March, this whole lockdown season, I feel like we've had, and we still have, this opportunity to, like, for us as Christians, to come before God and, like, figure out how do I rest? Like, what can I do? I think we need to ask ourselves that question. And the thing that kept, as we were preparing for this, the thing that kept coming to my mind, and the question that I started to ask myself, was, what are the things that, like, set my heart on fire? What are the things that bring me joy?
Yeah.
And I think we all need to, if we haven't already, begin to ask that question, because I think it's in those places.
Yeah.
That's where we will learn to rest. Like, the things that make you come alive. I'm not talking about ticking the boxes at work and all those things, but the things that make your, like, heart and your soul come alive. Because I think God wired us each, like you've already said, so differently. And I think unless we do that, we're just going to stay in the rat race. We're going to stay struggling, fighting, oh, I'm so tired today. What are the things that bring your heart alive?
I was really challenged by the question that you asked, and just hearing the response, and, like, I'm just really interested by what is the result of not resting. And I really feel that the reality is that it really disconnects us from each other, but it also disconnects us from God. And I think a big thing that I see in my own life is how I become very, like, me centered about what I'm looking for, what I want. And I just really felt that kind of bit of that heart kind of conviction of the sense that when I'm not resting, I become very centered on what I what I'm looking for. And I love that how Jesus was able to bring himself out of what was going on so that he could reconnect himself with the Father and what the Father was doing. And I love that, like, in Luke, I think, I don't know if it was the passage you sent out to us, but where it's like, not to be anxious, but to, like, recenter on the Lord, which is something that I just really felt convicted by when he said, what will be the result of not resting? Because I see it in my own life when I realize that I'm, like, consumed about what's going on with me, and I'm not trusting, like, that I can sit down and, okay, wait, God is bigger than this, if that makes sense.
For sure.
I just feel like how that also responds with me and my family, and how I find myself dealing differently with my brothers and my mum at certain times when I'm not rested.
And so often when God speaks to us, it's in that still small voice, but if you're, like, surrounded by noise, you can't hear this still small voice. And so, yeah, you're so right. Like, and that's, for me, it's something that I'm, like, conscious of as we're heading into marriage and then fatherhood and then all these other things. Like I know if I'm not connected to God, like, things are going to go bad. Like, this is going to be messy. It's going to be messy, right? So I'm just so conscious of, like, how can I, and even trying to do it now, how can I put these things in my life that just that helped me do that? How can I instill these habits? And it is difficult. And I'm not a morning person, I'm an evening person, but evenings are so busy, right? Yeah. Evenings are just so unpredictable. And then mornings are just difficult to wake up to. And so I'm in a struggle of like, not a struggle, but like I'm trying to figure out, you know, where do I find that, where do I make that space, you know? And I guess that's, it's a very practical question. I guess the answer isn't the same for everybody.
Yeah.
How much of a problem is this?
Oh my God.
You know, I was just thinking about this recently because someone asked me, you know, what was it like when we didn't have a phone? We were kind of talking, we were same age, we're talking about, we're like, what did we do? Like, you had to, like, ring someone's house, you know, talk to their mom or whatever, you know, or knock on their door or send a letter, whatever. And then it was like, you can text people. This is incredible. Life-changing. We were Meteor. It was free free text for 20 euro credit. To meter. And then it was like the iPhone. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And then I think which was the final thing was, and it's gonna continue, but was FaceTime for free. You can see other people's conversations and the whole way through lockdown. We have conversations with her. And I was just thinking about this, and I think what's happened, I'm just looking insular myself, is that I've got so fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of it. So therefore I let it rule me.
Right.
Rather than I rule it. Yeah. And I'm thinking of my kids and your future kids. When they grow up and like FaceTime, it's FaceTime, it's a phone, it's a computer. And I wonder when we lose the awe, because everyone says this next generation is going to be so messed up and they're always online. And I don't think so. I think if we teach them and we father them, we can learn it. You can plug in and you can plug out.
That's very true.
But I think without that awe, things could change. Behaviors and habits can change. And so, for you, do you think that we have lost ourselves because we've become in awe of what can be done, that we think it needs to always be done rather than just leaving it aside? It's okay if I don't tell Facebook and Instagram what I did today.
I actually have been off social media for almost a year now.
That's incredible.
And it's normal now to not be on it, and probably will be back one day, but it's normal now to not be on. And the initial, like the first few months of not being on, it was a detox. It was like a full body detox. Full mind detox, because I didn't realize, and I wasn't like a crazy poster doing all sorts of, but everything you do, you're like thinking, oh, I can post this, or how will I frame this? And it does something to your soul, I think, because I found that I started to live differently. I found that and I'm not against social media at all, it's amazing. Right. But I think the shift of coming off it, and like, it's almost like I lifted my head and realized, oh, I can enjoy moments and it doesn't, it like does something in your mind. So I think having, and we have the power and the ability and the control to unplug, like you said. But I think so much of the time we live at the, what's the word, like at the
mercy.
The mercy, the mercy of it. And we're controlled. That sounds so dramatic, but you know what I mean.
What's really interesting is that, you know, people at Facebook and Instagram, and again, it's not, people working around evil, but they're building these applications and all the other applications with the intent to get people on things. So they'll run like user tests, and when they're programming, they'll run user tests and they'll try out different features and see, well, what can engage people the most? And again, it comes from a place of, we want to get people on our platform. And there's lots of good things about the platform, but like, it is addictive. Like, it's designed to be addictive, designed to get you back. And again, when you can manage that and control that, it's such a good thing. You can keep up with your family and your friends back home, right? So easily.
Yeah. That's good,
But when it controls you, then it's a problem.
And I would be someone, like, people who know me know I'm on my phone a lot. Like, I am on my phone a lot, really. I am on my phone a lot. And there's definitely seasons, and even, you know, recently where the first thing, I use my phone to wake me up. I check everything to wake me up. And I check everything.
Just hold on a second. I want to like let people know the real thing. So we were talking with sleep. We've read a book on sleep. We're talking about it. And I asked, you know, like, I was asking everyone, how do you fall asleep? And Kanye says, I check my email, I check my bank account. I check every news story, the weather. I check what's going to happen in 20 Facebook. Years from now. I'm like, and then you fall asleep.
I go straight to sleep. It's crazy. It's like the first thing I do and the last thing I do is I'm on my phone. And I'm sure people are thinking, oh my goodness, that's terrible. How does she do that? And we all have bad habits. And I'd probably say that's probably one of my bad habits that won't last forever, because I know it's not the healthiest thing to do. But I think, you know, like we said, like for you to control it and it not to control you, I think is so important. But one of the things I think with our phones is this illusion that we're always available. Why didn't you answer your phone? Why didn't you reply? Yeah. Like the blue tick, like the two blue ticks. Right. Like there's this thing that we should always be available, whether it's for family, whether it's for work, whether it's for friends, you should always be available. And I think that's one of the things with rest is this thing of like, I should always be available, always have my phone on me, go everywhere in the house with my phone. But it's like, okay, in order to actually rest, do I need to put it on flight mode?
Yeah.
What does that look like for me, practically speaking? How do I put my phone away and actually not be available? Because I think years ago, when you had to walk over to your friend's house to actually see them, there was this thing of you have space, you have freedom, you have time to yourself, where now it's almost as if everyone's living in your house because they're on your phone all the time. Yeah. You can talk, message, ask questions, just quick message here, quick message there. You know, it's nothing major, but it's just one and then another one and another one. Yeah. So it's almost as if you're just always on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of the danger of that and the tension with that and rest, which I think is hard.
I did... not the start of this year, the start of the year before that, I was like, I'm gonna see what it's like, 3 days no internet. Now, like, I used to watch a lot of Netflix and would, like, you know, message people a lot and watch basketball. But I said, you know what, I'll do 3 days no internet. The most boring 3 days of my life. But it goes to show, like, when you're not connected to everything, it just, all of a sudden you just have that space and there's nothing eating you up. And it's so crazy.
Well, it's the classic thing, I don't have enough time. And I'm deeply challenged by everything you say. I feel like I'm the worst person at times with my phone, you know, and I am trying to respond. I always feel like I always feel like I'm apologizing every text. Sorry for the delay. Sorry for the delay.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, and this is what really challenged me about the book, is to go, oh, you don't have enough time. Okay, well then, and screen time, we can see. Calculate how many hours a day you're on your phone or you're on Netflix or whatever it is, and you go, right, I could take 3 or 4 hours a day. Imagine what you could do with 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
Like, that you invested in yourself, or was decided to be bored.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I've been learning, I want to talk for a little while about lockdown and things that we've learned from this, but I have a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and 2-year-old, and even with my wife, Jill, it's like, how much time do I actually spend on it? Ask them a question and listen and have a conversation and sit and just like leave space.
I
challenge that. What about you? Have you learned any about this with your own siblings or your mom or your other friends?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting over lockdown. We've had a lot more conversations, I think. But I think you're dead right about how that kind of listening thing. And one thing that I guess I think with regards to social media and everything is how we're all being kind of updated with what's going on in the world, and we don't necessarily give ourselves the time to think about it. So one thing that I've kind of noticed is in my own half, how I can actually get quite irritated sometimes by conversations that we have around the dinner table where, you know, none of us are naturally actually thinking about what's going on. We just have all these like quickly made opinions. So that's one thing that's noticed with regards to lockdown, was how, you know, grateful we've had no fights, we've had some heated arguments, but what I've noticed about this kind of ongoing nature of always my mind being on the go and social media, YouTube or Instagram, it's always feeding me information, how I've felt over lockdown that I'm not necessarily thinking through my thoughts hard enough. I'm consuming all this information and then not processing it. Processing is the right word. And I'm quite a verbal processor, so when I'm having these conversations, like, I'm verbally processing my thoughts and I'll go in and think about it. It's actually, no, I didn't believe half of what I said there. but that's
what you do it this time.
Exactly. But that's kind of what I found.
That's really good.
Especially, that kind of just giving out information without really processing through it has been something that I felt over the past few months.
I totally agree with you. And I think we become information inundated.
Yeah.
And I think that we're at a change of a threshold as an age, because this is the information age. But I think we come to a place where, can I actually trust and believe the information? Now, I'm not talking about the definition from Merriam-Webster's dictionary about, you know, I don't know, hurry. But I'm talking about that, what you say, the constant news, the constant opinion, to the point where I'm like, you become so overloaded that you just, like, you just choose something. This is what I believe now.
Yeah.
This is what I think about this.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just, it's all consuming. So for lockdown, how was lockdown for you? What did you learn about yourself, about rest, everything?
Hold
on, 1 minute.
I think like for so many people, it's been, well, not for everybody. I'm so aware it hasn't been like this for everybody, but for me, and for Alex, it's certainly been like a forced slowdown. Like it's been a forced, like, no, you actually can't go these places, and oh no, you're actually not rushing to and from the office. You're working from home. You're actually, like, everything has just been forced to go slower. Mm-hmm. And I think in that there's been like space to, there's been space to discover shows on Netflix. Let's be real. And that is my struggle.
The Crocodile one, what was it? Oh, Tiger King.
Yeah, goodness. But yeah, there's been a forced slowdown. And I think one thing for me and for us has been, it's been, God is like, reshuffled our priorities through it all, because there's been time to actually sit and assess and question and be like, wait a minute, like, life before this, it was go, 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 it was this, it was da, we're going to this place, meeting from this person to this person. And I think for me, one of the big things has been a reshuffling of priorities and a reshuffling of, like, what's actually important to me. And, like, I found over the last, like, 6 months, I've seen my parents more than ever, like, been able to visit them and just chat with them, spend time with them, whereas I was too busy. I didn't have them as a priority. But throughout this thinking time, I've realized, no, like, my priorities need to be reshuffled. Like, my marriage is first, my family is there, all the stuff, all the other things, the work, the things you need to do, the people you need to meet, that's all secondary.
That's good.
So yeah, reshuffling of priorities.
That's really good. That's good. Okay, what about you, Candy?
I think lockdown either made you become someone who slowed down, like, and you know, took that on, or it made you feel like, I need to do more. And some people have legitimately been busier with 3 kids at home and trying to homeschool and work a full-time job and clean the house and cook the food. And I think it's been a really varied experience for people. Obviously, I don't have any kids in the house, and my experience has been so different. But internally, I think for me, I've really found, I've had so many moments where I felt, I need to do more. I should be doing more. Just like this voice on the inside of me that's like, you should be doing more. And I think it made me question, okay, wait a minute. Like, stop the boat. Like, why am I feeling like this? Like, why? No one's putting this pressure on me. Why do I feel so much pressure to do more? And I think it really made me question, like, what am I attaching to doing? Am I attaching my worth, my value, who I am as a person, what I believe about myself, what I believe about my future, to how much I do every day? And I think it made me, and I've gone through a season before where I've learned that, but I think this season was really like, hey, who you are is not defined by what you do. Who you are is different. Yes, what you do is so important, and you need to do that excellently and diligently, but that's not who you are, because what you do can be taken away from you in an instant. It can be gone in an instant, but who you are is so important. I think the priorities thing, so, you know, like, we couldn't do as much as we were doing pre-COVID. And so it made me stop and think, okay, well, what's important to me? Like, is just what I do important? Or are my family, my friends, my health, my sleeping patterns, my evening routines, my morning, are those things a priority to me? And during this time, it really made me look at that and ask myself, well, who am I actually? Apart from what I do, who am I? What do I believe? What do I like? What don't I like? What do I want to do? What are my dreams? So I think that's what summer lockdown's been for me, a questioning time of who am I? And the value of what I do and what I don't do on a day-to-day basis. So it's been big for me. But it's
been
good. Really
good. Yeah.
Well, it's all about identity.
Yeah.
And I think I relate to what you're saying, because I think I go, what I do, who I am. Right? And I can preach about the other way and all this stuff, and talk a good talk. But at the end of the day, when, like, ordering your priorities is one thing. Living out your priorities is another thing. And I think that lockdown has forced us all to go, actually, how much do I value it? How much time do I think about work and what I need to do versus who I am and whom I'm becoming?
Yeah.
And that's been massive for me, trying to shift those things around.
Yeah. Mm.
Who am I?
Mm. Yeah.
Leads, and then what I do is based on who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? What you learn?
I found a little bit different to the Kansas experience because your job is very people focused, whereas my job, I'm a software developer, and I work at a computer, and so.
On a computer, with computers.
And we went to South Africa for a holiday, got engaged, and came back into lockdown.
Yeah.
And so I came back and I went to the office and got my computer and went home instead of my home office, right? And so I didn't have as much the whole, you know, what I do, because what I do stayed the same and stuff like that. What I found is the actual practicality and the schedule of my life looked different. Before COVID, I did not like the idea of working home. I was like, no, I want to go to the office. I want to be around people, you know, for that time. Mm. And my company has gone fully remote and won't go back to the office until everything is completely shut down. So we're remote fully from now on. And the change in not having to commute, not having to get up and run out the house every morning and just have that rush back and then come home, grab food and then go out again. And just that, like, you know, constantly kind of being in transit almost, it's just made such a difference to my life. And I went from being someone who said, I don't want to work from home. I want to go to the office. And I recently got a job offer to work somewhere else. And it wasn't the main thing that made me turn it down, but one of the things was that I wasn't going to be able to work from home. And I thought, do I want to spend an hour driving to work every morning and an hour driving back? That's 2 hours a day just gone. And you can listen to podcasts, but I don't listen to podcasts really all that much.
just
this one. Like, I'll switch up. I'll start thinking about something else. And so, like, I began to realize how much of a difference it makes when you get 8 hours of sleep a day. Like, it really makes a big difference when you have time to cook good food. Like, it makes a big difference, right? And so I think I've seen the practicalities of life slow down, not necessarily in what I do, but in how I'm living, if that makes sense.
Yeah, gosh, I've loved that, having the extra hour in the morning. It's been really difficult getting back up and I need to get into the city. I don't have time anymore. Yeah. I've loved it. I think I really enjoy having the morning to kind of relax, where I've really been trying to develop that routine of getting up in the morning and reading. And it's been such a huge blessing for me throughout lockdown of having that kind of space at the beginning of the day where I can kind of refocus in on what's important. And the question you were asking of who am I and why am I here? Because I think especially in lockdown, when you have all these plans and you're kind of like, you're looking as to when it's going to be finished and what's going to be happening. And you're trying to think, okay, what will I do when it's all over? And, you know, we're back in normal, I can get my life back on track. And I think I've been really grateful for that space. And I think I feel like I've really related what you're saying, Matt, of having that kind of time to just chill out and relax and to kind of come back and to spend time in prayer and reading and just kind of go, okay, what is God doing right now, instead of kind of where is my hurried mind going to all the time?
That's good.
So, you know, I think in lockdown, and of course we still are in somewhat of a lockdown, or working from home, as you say. But especially that time, you know, March to probably end of May, forced us all indoors, forced us to be a little bit introspective and to really wrestle with our values, our priorities that we just talked about. But, you know, in my role as a pastor, I've spoken to probably a couple of hundred people and asked conversations, how's things going? Mm. And I find like I could divide everyone into two groups. The people who have never been so busy in their lives, they have no boundaries between work and home, are stressed out, are like wanting this to end, like struggling with the change. And then another people, a group of people who are, like you just kind of beginning to embrace life, beginning to enjoy, beginning to slow down and think, you know what, maybe it's not all about work.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about family. And so just as we kind of finish, and you know, anyone who's listening or watching, maybe you're feeling like you are over busied and overwhelmed and just stressed out and you just don't know what to do. Hurry is your definition of life, and I'm on the go all the time, and maybe that's your vocabulary. How would you really advise people to get to that place? And maybe you are that person. I know I am. I probably am both, but I'm a little bit bipolar. I'm very like, I'm like this now and then I'm like this. Depends what time of the day you ask me. But like, what is, say, just one thing? What's one thing that we can either stop or start doing? What's one piece of wisdom or advice from your own life. It doesn't have to be like the answer. But what has been your answer? Go on.
Yeah, I think the first thing that came to my mind, and so many people, and I'm sure lots of people watching and listening, at some point maybe ask that question with regards to work. Why? Why am I doing this? Like, why am I working so hard? Why am I going? And for many people, all of a sudden their jobs look different. They had to reevaluate things. And it was maybe like, why was I working so hard? Why wasn't I putting my family first? Why wasn't I putting my health first? Because there was like this forced pause. And I think taking that question to God and saying, God, why am I doing this? And having a moment and perhaps starting the journey or continuing the journey of becoming really self-aware in a healthy way, and going to God with yourself and saying, God, why am I doing this? Show me. Let me see, where do my priorities need to change? What needs to be fixed in my heart? What am I chasing that's not of you, God? So that's the first thing that came to my mind, is some of the questions that have been bubbling up during this time. Take that to God and then wait for an answer and see what he says about where you're at and what he maybe has for you and changes that he wants to make in your life.
Just to jump on, and not just brush over that, because I think it's important. On a practical level, when you bring that to God, what does that mean, right? Like, I just mean it very practically. Like, do you sit down, open the journal, wait, and then write down what you think? Or how does it work?
I think for me, because I can find it hard to just sit down sometimes, and I'm sure lots of people do, but I would need something, so I would find a pen, find a piece of paper, and maybe just start with writing that question down. Why am I doing this? Like, why did I step into this job? I know so many people maybe are later on in their life and they're doing a job that they never thought they'd do. They're doing something that they hate. And this could be the perfect moment in life to make that change. You know, or maybe you just fell into a job and you never thought you'd be doing that. But to ask, like, why am I doing this? And whatever comes to your mind, sit with that. Don't be afraid to write that down. Because I want the money, because I feel pressure from my family. Like, whatever comes to your mind, no matter how scary it might feel, write that down and actually see it on paper and then see where that leads you. I would definitely, for me, I need to talk out loud to God. I can't just sit. I need to talk out loud, be like, okay, God, I'm feeling like this and I feel pressure from my family. God, what should I do about it? And in those moments when you feel your thoughts being like hasten to think something like, okay, maybe what about this or what about that, or a verse comes to your mind, or you suddenly remember a dream you had when you were 16 years old and you wanted to do this, I would just write those things down as they come to your mind. So often we think we need, you know, the cloud and the fire and lightning, and but God's but sometimes God speaks to us through our imagination and our thoughts and reminding us of things. You know, that's God, that's the Holy Spirit sometimes speaking to us. So I would just write it down and speak out loud to God and see where that takes you. Maybe the next step is sharing that with a friend, being bold enough to share that with someone. But I would just say, take that first step, because that's sometimes a big step, being self-aware of, like, where am I at with what I'm doing in my life right now?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Rosie?
Yeah, well, the question was, like, practical.
I can't remember the question. I know. What was, like, one piece of advice if you're feeling in that place, stressed, busy?
I think like, it's everything that we've been talking about, but I think learning to rest well is a huge thing. And we've already said it, but learning what that means for you is so huge. Because you could, I used to think that it was zoning out and numbing my brain with a show. But that was actually just pushing me deeper into stress or whatever. And I think, so learning what that is for you, and the biggest way that I have learned, especially over this last season of slowing down a little bit, is asking myself and asking God to show me, what are the things you have put in me that make me feel alive? What are the things that bring me joy? Yeah. What are the things, how have you wired me? And taking that step back, but making that habit, which is so hard to do when you are a doer, or when you do, like we've talked about, attach your worth and your value to doing, which is so, so normal. But creating, like you said, that space and that margin to actually remind yourself of, what are those things that bring me to life? Because I think you'll find the key there. That sounds so elusive. It could sound so elusive, but I think discovering like what that heart is that God's put in you, I think.
Excellent.
Sean?
Yeah, I've found myself, there's been a few passages that have really just kind of been, I've been trying to drill into my head, and this one came to me, I was through a song actually, through an artist, a rap artist, but he basically had Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you, he will never permit the righteous to be moved. And I think that's been the huge kind of rock for me over the past while, is like, what does it mean to get to know God more in this time? Because I do feel, for me, always thinking is that I find myself thinking about myself a lot and what I have to do and what I need to do next. And like taking the time to breathe and to get into scripture and say, God, who are you? And like, how do I know you and you, yeah, like who you are, and why do I trust you? Mm. I think that's the question that has really kind of been central to me, is to come to the place where I can cast my burden on the Lord and let him sustain me. And I know that's tricky as you're saying, Candy, yeah, of like, this is really difficult to sit down and to actually, you know, find that space. Yeah. But I think that's kind of something that I've been really blessed by, is finding the space where I can get into the Word and sit down and have that conversation with God in that way. And knowing that he is good.
Well, it's like the thing, like, you know, I need to go to the gym, but the hardest thing is actually to get there.
And
afterwards you're always like, oh, I wish I'd done that earlier.
Yes, exactly.
And it is the same. It's a practice. Yes. It's an habitual thing that you do. And over time, it just begins to shape you.
Yeah.
That's good. Matt?
That's good. I think following on from what you said about casting your cares, right, and the Lord carrying your burdens, lockdown's been pretty fine for me. But I've had moments in there with other things that would have happened anyway. Car trouble, saving for a wedding, very expensive. Figuring out, you know, will family be able to come? Will be able to fly? All these things. And I've had moments where I felt out of control and overwhelmed. This isn't lockdown related, it's life related. And I'm learning that in those moments, like, I can't manage that. I need to go and sit and put some music on and sit and say, Jesus, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And there's something like, I don't want to say that. I want to figure everything out by myself. I want to do it. I can, right? I'm a big boy. But coming and say, Jesus, I can't do this. Like, can you help me, please? And like, please, can you help me? And I found that's just the most, I don't know how, I don't know what. It's just the most like releasing thing, relieving thing. You know, there's just this ease and this peace and just surrendering that. And, you know, just, yeah, it's just good. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much. And I hope that blessed you, you know, but encourage you, or maybe just got you thinking a little bit about your own life. And, you know, the statement and the theme and title is, there's healing for a hurried life. This is not the end. There is a way. There is another way. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit more next week, part two. What is the way? What does Jesus say about this? What does the Bible say about this? How do I actually live a life that's not always hurried, harried, and hustled? 3 H's. Thank you so much. Have a great night. See you next week.